So, Father, we're just here this morning just to have your word come forth. Father, give us ears to hear, and, Father, a heart to receive. Father, because your word is crystal clear, and, Father, we just want to move in it. So, Father, just have your way this morning, and just be with us, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John, if you put up slide number two, there's a famous quote from Waldo Emerson that I want to discuss this morning. It's not the destination, it's the journey. Whoa. Slide two. You know, you'll hear this quote a lot in the motorcycle world. I'm sorry, I have to. You'll hear this a lot in the motorcycle world. And sometimes there's some variations of it that are really colorful that we won't get into here, but it's basically, you know, it's the same thing. It's not the destination, it's the journey. You know, there's times when I'm out and about, you know, riding on the bike, and people say, well, where are you going? And I'll just kind of point in the direction. You know, it's not so much that I need or want to go somewhere. I want to be on the journey, enjoy what God created out there, the wind in my face, the glory of what he's done and created all around me. I don't care where I'm at. In times, there I've even gotten lost. You know, not quite remember how I got there. And thank goodness for my phone. I'll get on, you know, the old Google Maps app and say, oh, this is how I need to get back home. It kind of reminds me of Bruce's statement when he went down with a group of people to Pensacola. He says, I'm not lost, I just don't know where I am, but I know where I'm going and I know how to get there. As Christians, we know where we're going. Our destination, heaven. Heaven. You know, a destination is a lot. You have a line of your life journey, and at the end is your destination. It's a dot. But, you know, the journey through your life until we reach our destination is going to be filled with slide number four, a bunch of zigs and zags, slide five, a bunch of detours. You know, we can have all these plans. I love our son who was in college at the time, and he put a spreadsheet together. He majored in, you know, accounting, and he's got his business degree and all this other good stuff. He put a spreadsheet together for his life. It was all laid out. He's going to go to school. He's going to graduate at this time. He's going to get a job, and he's going to be making this much money. Then he's going to get married, and then his wife is going to be making this much money. Then she's going to get pregnant and take off of work, and then the income's going to be this. And, you know, he just had this thing all planned out. But how many people know in life, it doesn't necessarily all work out the way we had planned. We're full of zigs and zags and detours. You know, we don't know what life is going to throw our way. But that's the exciting thing about it also. You know, if you knew everything that was going to happen, that would be a boring thing for me anyway. I don't know about you. You know, our life is going to look a lot different for each one of us, and I know that it's not going to be a smooth ride. I know that there's going to be bumps in the road. I know there's going to be zigs and zags and detours along the way. Now, if you're a control freak, you need to be prepared for challenging times, because you will be challenged. In fact, James 1:2-4 tells us, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many look forward to trials and tribulations? I didn't think so. We want to kind of skate through life, you know, with as little bothersome things in our life as possible. But we know that's not going to happen to us. You know, as Christians, we do know where we're going. It's our destination is heaven. But the thing is, on our journey to our destination, we're going to have some problems. Our journey here on earth is where and how we spend our time and efforts as we navigate life towards our destination. Our destination, heaven, ought to dictate how we will move and what kind of experiences we will have along the way. So what does our journey look like? What are we to do during our journey here on earth? Luke 2, 43 through 50. This is at the Feast of the Passover, where Jesus was about 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph went on to Jerusalem. It says, when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they, Mary and Joseph, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Jesus understood his purpose on earth. You know, can we say that about our lives? You know, what we are, you know, are we about our father's business? And what does this look like? You know, it can look like different things for different people. But the focus ought to be about, like Jesus, about Father's business. And I realize that, you know, life can be filled with busyness. But the question remains, how do we prioritize our time? God, family, friends, work, leisure. Slide 6. I used this the other week. Oops, wrong ones. There you go. You know, I had 2 slides I used before. One was of the cruise ship. And, you know, with the cruise ship, it's a lot of people being taken care of by a few people that are on staff. Whereas in a battleship, the church is what it's supposed to look like. All hands on deck. Everyone serves the mission. That doesn't mean just the folks that are up here speaking. That doesn't mean the folks that are just doing, you know, visitation or whatever. Every one of you, if you call the Encounter Church your home, you need to be involved. You need to be involved in the life of the church, and that entails more than just being here on Sunday mornings. Now, that can look a lot different for different people. You know, there's a lot of things that go on, and I'm so blessed to work with a bunch of folks that do a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. You know, how many people appreciate having a clean church, a clean bathroom? You think that just happens by itself? There's no miracle happening there. There's people that are putting in the effort to keep God's place clean. How many people enjoy the coffee and donuts every week? I know I do. Am I the only one? You know, it takes people to do that. And there's so many things, so many opportunities we're going to be talking a little bit about later. But all of us need to get plugged into something. That's God's plan. What does Jesus say? I'm to be about my Father's business. What are you doing to be about the Father's business? As I said, all of us can do something to advance the kingdom. You know, there are so many opportunities here at the Encounter that allows us to be about the Father's business. We've got existing ministries that are just waiting for you to step up and into, serving both inside and outside the church, and exciting new ministries that are yet to be born. And maybe that's just for you. Maybe there's a ministry that we haven't gotten started here that has just been burning in your spirit, and all you need is to be released. Come and talk to us. We're wanting to equip the saints for business of the Father. With all this in mind, I want to take a few minutes for each of our various ministry leaders to tell you about their ministry and opportunities just waiting for you to get involved. Now, unfortunately, there are many that are not here today, suffering on various cruises. Hi, Bruce, Lori, and the gang, and Bud, and Natalie, and all the folks. Hope you're having a good time. yes, so they're not here, but they've left us some video messages on their ministry. So, John, if you could do that, please.
Hello, we are Bud and Natalie Harford, and this is the Encounter Counseling Ministry.
Our foundational scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:11, that we are all his ambassadors of reconciliation. The Father's heart has always been a relationship with his children.
But the connection was broken due to the fallen state of man, sin, life, death, and man's response was pulling back, turning away, building walls, protecting himself, and hiding. But we are all called to be ambassadors of reconciliation, the reconciliation that the Father bought for us through his Son.
2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Isaiah 26:7. But for those who are righteous, the way is not steep and rough. You are a God who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of them. Isaiah 57:14. And they will say, make clear, restore the road, and lift up the stumbling stones from the road of my people.
And this is what we do in his name, through prayer, his word, the truth, following the lead, his lead, to clear the way of all obstacles and to restore that connection between them and their creator. If you feel like this is something you would like to find out about or even become a part of,
come and talk with us.
Brochures and business cards are available in the foyer.
Is not just for folks inside the Encounter. In fact, probably the majority of the individuals that they minister to are from outside this church. They get referred to from a lot of different folks that come in here, and it's just amazing some of the testimonies that we've heard from Natalie and Bud about what God is doing through this ministry. So it is a powerful thing that God is using to reach out, not only inside our walls, but outside our walls. Okay, the next one.
Hey guys, this is Lauren Kokel, and I'm over the coffee bar. Our mission is to create a place for the body to connect before service. We serve sweets and coffee throughout the morning and clean up at the end of service. If you're interested in helping out, let me know. We'd love to have enough volunteers so that you only have to serve once every other month. Thanks.
Pause. How many know the burden is lighter when there's a lot of people sharing? Yeah, it doesn't have to be something that you commit to. You know, you've got to be here every week to do this. You're sharing it with other folks, and like I say, it makes it a whole lot easier to do, and continues to be a blessing to the body. So, next one.
Lori Jacob here for the Encounter Kids Ministry. The mission statement is, Kids Ministry serves to cultivate for children a heart-transforming relationship with God through relational teaching and practical discipleship. In our services, we develop their ability to see and hear God. We memorize scripture and we're praying for each other. We currently have nursery, which Lauren Kokol is over, ages 0 to 3, kids church, which I am over, ages 4 to 10. We also have a play pal and parent day, which Lauren Kokol is over and runs them on Saturdays. We do have a group of amazing teachers that love to love the children and teach them about God and how to have a relationship with God. If you are interested in being a part in sowing into these children's lives, please don't hesitate to come up to me and tell me that you would love to help out, whether you'd like to teach or just be there to help minister to the kids. Thank you.
Pause here. How many understand ROI on investments? Return on investment, it's what you get back from the time, money that you invest into something. Investing in our kids has an incredible ROI. You know, I love when the kids are out here, God, they're hearing God, they're unafraid. You know, sometimes when we get older, you just say, oh, what are people going to think if I say this, that, or the other thing? Well, they don't care. And that is what's so cool about them. And you start them young like that to explore the things of God, and what happens? They're going to grow up to become people like you and I, sitting out here, knowing what God is all about and having the freedom to move in what he's doing. So this is just an incredible ministry and opportunity for everyone to get plugged into. Next, please.
Hi, Encounter. This is Briley here, here to talk about Young Adults Ministry. We are a group of young people, 18 to 35. We are studying into brotherly love. Philippians 2 is what we're all about, and just growing in our relationship with God and growing with one another, learning how to be an encouragement to each other and to the body. Really, all we can ask for is we could use some prayer for our group as we dive in, that there would just be a unity that develops in us, and we could use childcare. So if you're interested, just let me or Lauren Kokol know, and have a blessed day. Hi, Encounter, this is Briley here, here to talk about Young Adults Ministry. We are a group of young people, 18 to 35. We are studying into brotherly love, Philippians 2.
You know, I believe they're discriminating against us more mature individuals. We have fun too, right? Can you move on to the next one, please?
Hello, my name is Lori Jacob, and I am over women's ministry. Our mission statement is, women's ministry exists to encourage our pursuit of the manifest presence of the Lord through opportunities to serve and connect with him and each other. Our team is a group of amazing ladies that love the presence of the Lord, especially the manifest presence of God. We love to serve, to come up with events for us to be together, building that connection with other women and with God. We find such an importance in connecting with each other and then bringing the Lord into it, bringing healing, hope, life, peace, and joy. Currently, we are doing the Ladies of Three, where three ladies get together for 2 months and they spend time together getting to know each other intimately and sharing their testimony and being falling in love with Jesus. Melissa Parr is currently over that, And we're also excited to have a women's conference coming up in April. These are very exciting times.
I didn't know she had that in there. But these are very exciting times. Was that the last one, or do we have another?
Our mission and desire for the worship ministry is to create an atmosphere for His presence to manifest, to lead others closer to our Father, and to passionately express our love for Him. The worship ministry is made up of three teams: the worship team, the sound team, and the projection team. We are committed and responsible for Sunday morning worship. A lot goes into Sunday morning worship. We practice weekly before service as well as scheduled extra practices. We value being prepared and on time. This enables us to lead and worship without technical distraction. Growth and excellence. Our desire as worshipers is to continually grow and mature in skill in the things of the Spirit. Excellence isn't only technical skill, but a position of the heart. It's following the Spirit, being open to input, and constantly seeking to grow and improve. Honor. Our expression of worship is unique to each person. We are willing to submit to their guidance and follow where the Spirit is leading them. By honoring leadership, we are showing honor to the Lord. Ultimately, we want our lives to be an act of worship so that everything we do will glorify Him.
So, I think that was the last one, wasn't it, Charles? Okay. So like I said, you know, we've got all those folks that are out there enjoying their cruise, some hitting Mexico, some hitting the Panama Canal. So we are living vicariously through them. I can just feel the sun and that ice cream machine that Bruce hovers around. Now we've got some folks here in the body that would like to have come up and share a little bit about their ministry. So Jeff, why don't you come on up, brother?
Bud and I are leading the men's ministry together. And I'm just doing my half of speaking on my behalf on that. We have really discussed all these things, but we have been having ongoing discussion. So we're in the early stages of developing men's ministry in our church, and it's really to address the specific needs for men in our church. But also, I want us to look at men's ministry as being an entry point or point of connection for men in our community to find the Lord through hanging out with our guys. So there's an outreach aspect we'd like to incorporate into this too. So it's really just facilitating spiritual growth in men of all ages, and having older men mentoring younger men, and facilitating fellowship and encouragement one to another, empowering men for ministry and leadership in their marriage, their vocation, their family, their church and community. Also helping men identify, develop, and fulfill their gifts, passions, and callings. And then there's an accountability factor too. In one-on-one and in small groups, when we encourage one another and we're transparent with each other, we can help, you know, hold each other's feet to the fire to go after the things that we've said we want to do that we just never seem to get around to, you know. So these are some of the things that we hope to accomplish through men's ministry.
Yeah, I had a scripture verse to that, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, men, it's about, you know, it's, you look around and you see women's ministry, they get together and they have a party and they just have great participation. Men's ministry, not so much. And that's what we're going to fix. That's what we need. Men, we need to get together and we need to get it going. So thank you, Jeff. Don, where you at? Come on down, brother. For greeters and ushers ministry, and I had Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect this to show hospitality to strangers.
I can cover that. Hi, I'm Don Proko, and I'm over the ushers and greeters ministry. And you've seen us as you come in. We're the ones that you see at the door. We're in little green tag and handing out bulletins. And what our purpose is that we're the ambassadors of the church. We're the first ones that anybody sees that comes into our church the first time. And we want them to feel welcome. So our job is to greet them with a smiling face, a friendly look, and just give them a comfortable feeling coming in. Ask them if they have any questions, and just show them into the sanctuary, or show them the coffee bar. But just let them know that there's somebody here that they can talk with and feel comfortable with. And we are a bunch of friendly people. I think that most of us, when you see us, we are welcoming to you. We're a bunch of good-looking people. You got to admit that for our whole group. And so we just are looking for more people. The things that we need is more people to join us. Right now we're in a 4-week rotation. So every 4 weeks you're called to be here to greet people. And if the more people we get, the more teams we can make. And I'd like to see that be every 2 months that we would serve. And we're just asking for people to come forward, and we will show you everything that needs to be done. It's a pretty easy ministry. We get to collect the money, go back and count the money. That's another big perk. And if you're interested, come and talk to me or any of the other ushers, and we'll get you set up. And if you don't think you're good looking enough to join, come talk to us. You'll be transfigured. So thank you.
We just sang a bunch of songs about beautiful. So we're all beautiful. So we don't have to work on that. You know, how many people have gone to places, not just churches, but they walk in and nobody says anything to them, or worse, they look at them, with this just an angry looking face. How many times do you want to turn around and leave something like that? When people come in those doors, you ought to be the happiest people in the world. I mean, we all, as Christians, ought to be the happiest people in the world. But when you're welcoming people and you don't know what kind of situation they're coming from, what's going on in their life, we want them to be here. We want them to be welcome. We want them to feel the presence of God. So put on that happy face. Come on in. We got something that you need. Let's see, we've got Aubrey, why don't you come on up and talk about youth ministry? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Hey, you stole my verse.
Oops, I'm sorry. Great minds.
Right. So, I'm Aubrey. And I am over the youth ministry, sorry. 75% of Christian teenagers fall away from their faith after they're out of high school. Proverbs 22:6 is what Terry just said. I'll read it one more time for you guys. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is older, he shall not depart from it. These are only a couple reasons why, of many, that the Encounter has a youth ministry. So come fellowship, mentor, and have a ton of fun with the youth of Kenosha. If you're interested, come talk to me.
Amen. Don't start crying on me here. I don't know if that was Lexi or Nicole. Oh, gosh. I want to talk briefly about missions. How many know that missions field begins just outside these doors? We think of missions sometimes as just that's done in other countries, and it is, but it's not the only thing. There's a mission field ripe out just outside those doors. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. Part of our missions, local missions, is evangelism. And I'm going to ask Bonnie to come on down and talk briefly about that.
I'm going to try to make this brief because I didn't know how long I had. So, but anyway, you just read it from Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. Well, there's more to that than just the evangelism thing. We are all to be evangelists. I believe this covers everybody here, not just an evangelism team, because we're called by Jesus to make disciples of all nations. And that couldn't even be outside the United States. But to start out with, a lot of people think that evangelism is about going out on the street and witnessing and then leading somebody to Jesus. And that is a part of it. I mean, and we don't know where that person is. And we've gone out from Kenosha here, from here, and taken teams and gone down by the lake and been able to pray for people and sometimes meet them more than once. But there's people probably in your own sphere of influence that would be a good place to practice. I just want to give you like something that I do. I'm always looking. Number one, we need to pray before we go out and about. We could have a neighbor that is in desperate need. I've had the Lord put a picture of somebody that I was acquainted with in front of me, and I didn't even hardly know them. But the Lord made it so, me so aware that I asked them if I could pray for them about something. And a couple months later, I led that person to the Lord. I had no idea, and I didn't want to do it, go and talk to them or, you know, any of this. But I'll just give you a statement you can say. If you see a need, you're in a checkout line, and I heard a lady on the telephone, and I knew that the conversation had an urgency to it. So I just kindly said to her, I overheard your conversation. Do you have a need for prayer? Do you believe in prayer? I've had one person tell me they didn't believe in prayer. And I've introduced that. Because if they say no, then it's the end of the conversation. But if they say yes, they're open. Okay, and I think that first of all, we need to pray, and second, we need to practice. Do you know there are human beings in this hour walking on water? Like, oh my gosh, Peter, there are people, and you know what they did first? They walk into the lake, or they keep practicing. We should be practicing what God has said in his word for us to do. And if they've already done it in the Bible, it's possible for us. And you know, I guess we have to start thinking that way. So, and something very interesting I just got from my youngest son, who is a pastor, about your sphere of influence and about just praying before you go out the door and ask God what he might have you to do. Because there's hungry people and desperate people out there. This was an interesting little note. This group of people put together a strategy. They were looking for information. And this was on a missions trip. The strategy that God used in the beginning to reach and redeem the world was a blessing strategy. God promised, I will bless you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. For a doctoral assertion, the author did a research project he entitled Blessers versus Converters. The study was based on two teams of missionaries that went to Thailand. While both teams went with similar goals, they carried two distinctly different strategies. The converters group went with the sole intentions of converting people and evangelizing. Their goal was to save souls. The Blessers group explained their intention as, "We are here to bless whoever God sends our way." The study followed both the converters and the Blessers for 2 years. At the end of that time, the researchers discovered two key findings. First, the presence of the Blessers in the community resulted in tremendous amounts of social good. It appeared, according to the study, that this group contributed to the betterment of society, community life, and creation of social capital. The presence of the converters, however, seemed to make no difference in the community. The second discovered was very surprising, was that the Blessers saw 48 conversions while the converters saw only one. That's people blessing the community and the other ones just going out to save souls. That was interesting to me. They only saw one. Okay, the Blessers group saw almost 50 times as many conversions through being a blessing than those who were only trying to convert the people around them. The bottom line, the best way to accomplish Jesus' mission of reaching people far from God is for his people to become blessers. At a practical level, this can be accomplished through the word B-L-E-S-S. B means begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat. S, serve. And S, story. If you will do one of these practices each day and begin your small group each week by asking, "Who did you bless this week?" you can create a culture of evangelism in your church. So this was an exciting piece of information. And you know, we're all called, but just do something kind for your neighbor. It's amazing what God will do if we will be aware, and that it doesn't have to be just that we have to go out on the street. Prayer is so vital. Amen. But anyway.
It kind of reminded me, I belong to a Christian Motorcycle Association, and we minister at secular bike events, and it's really interesting. A lot of bikers, you know, they don't necessarily want to have anything to do with God, but they want their bike blessed for the year, for safe riding. I don't understand it, but I'm there to bless their bikes. And we've blessed, I don't know how many bikes at all these different events. And, you know, there's been very few times when a biker will say, very colorfully say, "No, I don't want any part of this stuff." Okay, we move on to the next one. You know, this past year we had the 120th anniversary of Harley, and was working at the CMA tent over at Uke's. And we had a Salvation, one of the bikers, and you know, this is a crusty looking dude. And you know, praise God, you know, he came to know the Lord. And you know, you just got to take that step of faith, and you know, you may get rejected, and that's okay. You're doing something, you're moving something. Whew. Wow. Currently we do not have anyone overseeing our missions program. You know, in years gone by, we had a huge missions program here at church. You know, at one time, our missions giving was over $100,000 a year. Yeah, wow, is right. And granted, we had, you know, more people back then, but how many know all things are possible with God? $100,000. God doesn't, he doesn't worry about what his balance in the checking account is, because he has unlimited funds. So we want to re-energize our missions program. You know, that's outside here, the doors. that's other countries. And we have Brother Chun that ministers to, oh my gosh, I don't know how many countries, all over the world. And, you know, his life has been put in danger, but, you know, he's like the ever-ready energizer man. He keeps on going. He keeps on going. Pouring money into things like that, that's good seed. That's absolutely good seed. And we're seeing, I don't know how many people that come to the Lord just through Brother Chun's ministry. I mean, if we can continue to re-energize this program, get people involved, get the excitement back to where it was, we're just going to blow this place apart. Which brings me back to Aubrey and an opportunity that, you know, I'd like for her to share for missions.
I'm back. All right, we're going to play a really quick game of true or false. So, missions trips can be for everyone. True. Missions trips are expensive. Not if God's paying. Missions trips are just evangelizing. False. Missions trips are a huge blessing for both you and others. True. So the encounter, finally, will be heading over to South Africa, July 2025. We will be bringing a group of people there. Sorry, here in my mouth. We will be working with a nonprofit called Engage Africa, and as well as an orphanage called Bridge of Hope. This ministry is based on the children of South Africa, but that doesn't mean that you have that you need a passion to minister to children as a requirement to go. That is not what we're looking for. We would love to use the many different gifts that God has given the people in his church to bless the people of South Africa. There is a ton of different opportunities for all the different gifts to be used there. There's a ton of different opportunities to just show the love of Christ on this trip. So if this sparks your interest in any way, even if you aren't sure, come talk with me. I'd love to have some more conversations with you and share some more stories about what's happening in South Africa right now.
And if finances are an issue, she's got a creative way to bring in some money to help offset. Yeah. So don't let that be a stumbling block for you, because like I said earlier, all things are possible. I hope that everyone can see, you know, all these wonderful opportunities that we have just waiting for you to serve and do the Father's business. You know, Bruce kind of keyed up a lot of the things when he was speaking yesterday and says, what are we doing with our time here? You know, we shouldn't be just about playing church. We need to be about the Father's business. And please don't take this in any other way than encouraging you to get plugged in. Because you may think you're going to be blessing other folks, but you're going to get blessed back. It's just incredible, the blessings that come back at you. I lifted this from a book that someone recently gave me. It's called Wisdom for Each Day by Billy Graham. Says, we aren't here by accident. We're here because God put us here, and he put us here for a reason. So we could come to know him in a personal way than to live in a way that brings glory to his name. Or to put in another way, what we said around here is to know him and to make him known. And why do we do that? Well, we just heard of all the ministry opportunities we currently have. You know, but it doesn't stop with just that. If you can do the next slide, Yona. Oh, it's not showing up there. Okay. Look at this. This just kind of really surprised me. How do people start attending church? One would think that, oh, it's the pastor's job, or, you know, you're advertising a newspaper or some kind of visitation program. Look at that. A friend invited me. 86% of the people came to church because a friend invited them. You know, it's that personal contact, that personal invitation that will bring folks into this place. By your invitation, say, hey, I'm going to church. Why don't you come check us out? You know, not only does God have a general purpose for each and every one of us, he also has a specific plan for each one of our lives. In Jeremiah 29, there we go. For I know the plans I have for you. For you, that's individual, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And as Bruce has said before, you know, there's no retirement from serving God. I don't care if you're 70, 80, 90 years old. God's got a plan and purpose for you. And it's no retirement included. Your retirement benefits are awesome. But everyone needs to be involved. To wrap things up, I want to return back to the beginning. As Christians, we all know where our destination is. Our journey through life, however, is how we can best use our God-given talents, gifts, and abilities in order to serve him. Look at Jesus and the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles, their journey through life took a lot of different roads. You had fishermen, you had doctors, you had tax collectors. When Jesus got a hold of them, their journey changed. Their destination changed. Jesus and those 12 changed the world forever. We have that same opportunity to change the world, one person at a time. So let's try to make the best out of our journey here on earth, remembering Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. And by all means, slide 8. Let's enjoy the ride. It doesn't have to be burdensome. We can have fun doing things. So on this journey through life, let's have a good time. Let's do it for him. Let's do it for the kingdom. Amen? Amen.